Cincinnati's Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. No sentencing date's been announced for Hunter Biden, but the court of public opinion is weighing in after the president's son was convicted of lying about his drug use on a form that he filled out when he bought a gun.
He had lived a life that has gotten him to this point.
Was Hunter Biden guilty? Based on what I read, what I saw, sure he was guilty.
Faces up to 25 years in prison, but legal experts say it's unlikely he'll serve much, if any, time behind bars. The president travels to Italy today for G7 meetings. There'll be information released on the U.S. economy, the latest consumer price index. Primary voters in four states were at the polls on Tuesday. In Nevada, Sam Brown won the Republican Senate primary. He'll face two-term Democratic Senator Jackie Rosen in November. And as Secretary of State Antony Blinken pushes a ceasefire proposal in the Middle East, Hezbollah fired a barrage of rockets into northern Israel. This is ABC News. Today marks 30 years since Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman were murdered in Los Angeles, the beginning of the events that set up O.J. Simpson's trial of the century.
If Nicole Brown Simpson were alive today, she would have been 65 years old. Ron Goldman would be 55. It was a murder case the world watched.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
So many years after the murders, Nicole's sisters talking to our Diane Sawyer about what she would be like today.
Oh my gosh, what would she look like?
Beautiful.
I know.
She'd be fit.
Ron Goldman's family members are still fighting for money they never received from a civil judgment against O.J. Simpson. Alex Stone, ABC News.
An off-duty security guard's been charged with murder in Washington State. Authorities say he stopped three teens outside of a store near Seattle because of what he believed was a gun, but was actually an airsoft pistol. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties, the best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin tourism had a record-breaking year in 2023, bringing in $25 billion in profit. Travel Wisconsin Communications Director Craig Trost says this is the second year in a row Wisconsin tourism recorded record-breaking numbers.
Tourism's economic impact grew in all 72 Wisconsin counties in 2023, and that was led by 45.9 million overnight visits to Wisconsin. That was up about 500,000 from 2022.
Milwaukee County alone brought in $4 billion. Wisconsin tourism continues to be one of the largest drivers of Wisconsin's economy. The Wisconsin DNR announced it will be awarding almost $600,000 in urban forestry grants to cities, counties, and nonprofit organizations. The grants will fund projects that help cities manage their trees and improve urban forestry. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Blue Jays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' six-game winning streak at home is over. They lost 3-0 to the Toronto Blue Jays. Before the game, third baseman and leadoff batter Joey Ortiz was scratched from the lineup. Manager Pat Murphy after the game.
Ortiz has a slight hamstring strain, and we didn't want to take any chances. So we'll get evaluated tomorrow and go from there. hopefully it's not long-term in any way.
22-year-old Carlos Rodriguez making his Major League debut, the third rookie pitcher to do so this season for the Brewers, and talked about how Murphy surprised him with the news.
He was telling me, yeah, I think we're going to throw a bullpen on Saturday, and then after we're going to put you on the development list on Monday. And like, he threw me off there, and then he's like, you're going to start against Toronto on Tuesday. Pretty cool. All the coaches were in there, so it was a good experience.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Weather on the Eagle, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy. Highs in the mid to upper 80s. Showers and storms tonight and a low of 67. For Thursday, mostly sunny. Highs near 83. On Friday, sunshine, a high of 81. More showers and storms Saturday.
Right now, it's 62.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Wednesday for the Crudy Birthday Edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That means less fat jokes, more short jokes. Dom and Crude and you tune in.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
So, this bug talk is getting out of control. I'm going to read more of your text soon. All bugs are disgusting. There are bugs I forgot about that people are mentioning. So we'll get to that soon. Stuart J. Waddles is here at 8:35 to talk about Summerfest and Fibs. Right now we have a few more minutes with Joel Murray, whose show, Who's Live Anyway, is touring Wisconsin. They've got, I think, a couple dates in Madison, one in Wausau, one in Eau Claire, and one right here.
And
Appleton, right here in northeast Wisconsin at the PAC. I don't know if they call it the PAC anymore. It's a beautiful facility. I saw Les Mis there a few years ago. A great tour, and tickets are available right now. Right, Joel?
It's a good time to buy, in fact. You know, the good seats are still available. You don't want to be in the back of the balcony.
Right.
We appreciate the people in the back of the balcony.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with big savings, but if you can get the tickets now, the tickets now. It's a great show. Okay, so Joel, I wanted to ask you. You said you've done some directing too. You know, as a guy who's performed his whole career, pretty much, how does directing compare to performing?
It's like a mind puzzle. Especially directing sitcoms, a four camera sitcom. You've got to orchestrate four cameras that are moving around the whole scene long in front of the audience. I mean, they can see over it. But it's like a Sudoku puzzle, you know, kind of thing. You got to make sure that the camera is in the right place at the right time for each line that you're doing. And I was on a bunch of sitcoms when I first moved to Hollywood. I was on Grand. I was on Pacific Station. I was on Love and War.
Yeah.
And when I was on Love and War working for Diane English, I said, you know, I'd really like to direct sometime, and I've got a four camera split for some reason in my dressing room, and I've been, you know, hanging out with Peter Bonners, and he's been kind of mentoring me, Jerry the Dentist from Newhart.
Yeah, love
great
him.
Guy.
Yeah.
And she said, oh yeah, we should definitely do that. Oh great, well good, well yeah. And then we got canceled. So I didn't. So then when I got on Dharma and Greg, after 3 weeks, I told Chuck Lorre, I said, you know, I don't have a lot to do on this show. I have a couple funny lines every week. I'd really like to direct. And he's like, you would be good at that. Yeah, you should do that. And 3 years later, I got my shot, and I did about five or six for him. And then I did, you know, six or something for when I was on Still Standing. And I've directed
Joey Gutierrez. Yeah. And Diane Burroughs. Yeah.
Joey. Great show. The crossing guard stand-up bit. One of my favorites.
He's great.
Yeah. One other bug we haven't gotten to at all, but fleas. I don't let dogs on my bed. I'm that dad. And my son the other day comes out and goes, what do you think these are? I'm like, yeah, you've got flea bites. You let the dogs in your bed. The dogs have fleas. And, so that was kind of rough to get that all cleaned up and done.
You don't let dogs in your bed. I don't let dogs in my house. The idea of an animal in the house is just, I've never warmed to that. I don't know. I know I'm on an island and I do love dogs. I am allergic. That helps. But man, no thanks.
I convince my kids I'm allergic to cats. It's not true. I just don't like cats.
You said the sitcom dad. You love that role, Joel. Is there a role you would love to play that you haven't played yet? Is there something you're like, man, I would love to be this guy?
Oh, yeah. I spoke of him earlier. George Wendt actually just sent me a book written by an Evanston writer that is this retired Chicago cop who he gets in a grief group and they talk about their grief and that they've lost, all these guys have lost children. They meet at like a rec center at some, you know, park district place. And they end up, things happen and the guy ends up getting back into being a detective kind of thing. But I'd love to be a retired cop kind of guy. You know, everybody'd love to be the, like the Tige Andrews kind of guy that just yells at him, you guys are out of control. No more of this stuff. I'm taking your guns away. You know, you say that in the beginning of the episode and at the end, well, that all kind of worked out. You guys, you're all right. You know, I'd love one of those, you know, two scene guys that just make money for doing nothing one day a week. I don't know. That's been the beauty of my career is I've done drama, I've done comedy, and you know, you just never know what's going to get thrown at you. And I've always enjoyed that. I mean, even back when, you know, I was doing plays at the Remains and I did Bleacher Bums and stuff, and I came and went from Second City a couple times. I've just, you know, I like the variety.
Yeah.
I had the same wife for 34 years, but everywhere else I like the variety.
You were in a movie called God Bless America, directed by Bobcat. I tried to get that on my PBS show to interview you guys. It didn't work out. It was a money thing. But you talked highly of that film. I still haven't seen it. That looked like a really cool role for you, though.
That was really fun. And
where can people see that?
I think you can. It was on Netflix for a long time.
Okay.
But yeah, Bobcat's an old friend, and he had never seen Mad Men like Conrad. And I sent him like the first four seasons while he's having back surgery. And somewhere through season two, he said, you know, I wrote this script. I think you'd be good as the Frank. And so I read the script. I'm like, Frank's the guy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And nice. So I starred in a movie. And as Bobcat says about his movies, my movies make hundreds of dollars. So I started a movie. I was, you know, basically changing in my own van and stuff like that. It wasn't as glamorous being the movie star as I thought it might be, but it was really fun. And it's a really good movie. It still holds up 10 years later, 11 years later now, I guess. But it's dark. I mean, things happen in the first 35 seconds and it kind of weeds out some of the audience. Bob says that about all his movies. I usually do something early on. And, you know, if they want to leave, then fine. They're not going to enjoy the rest of it either.
Oh, but, that's funny. Yeah. It's weird. Good, yeah. I still haven't seen it, Joel, because back when we were talking, I didn't have access to it, but now I probably do. And you just reminded me of that. But every time there's a school shooting or a shooting in America, for some reason, that movie that I haven't seen that you're in comes to mind. I don't know what it is. I'll have to see this.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty good. I was pretty proud of it when we first saw it, but unfortunately the distribution on it was really not good. It should have been like Falling Down with, you know, Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
It should have gotten out there, but they dropped the ball in the distribution. And then that's the business. You never know. You think all the stars are aligned. Oh yeah. It's that we forgot this star. And,
no. A couple more questions for you, Joel. Who are your favorite actors working today or your favorite actor all time? And who are your favorite Chicago actors or people that came out of Chicago with those great theater backgrounds?
Oh, I'll take that backwards.
Sure.
I was always a big fan of Billy Peterson,
yes.
William L. Peterson from To Live and Die in L.A. and whatnot. He was just a, you know, I did a baseball movie with him called Long Gone.
Great film.
Stud Cantrell, and he was just a studly type of guy. I think like even now he's got like a 6-year-old kid, That's how studly he is. And you know, I got to see, you know, good people at the Goodman back in the day. Went and saw, Aidan Quinn do Hamlet.
Oh, yeah.
At the Wisdom Bridge. That was one of the most amazing shows I ever saw. But I used to love the theater, and I live next door to Zany's, above the,
the
Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
So I used to sneak in the back door there. That was a little free theater.
Nice.
Lifetime, a huge Jimmy Stewart fan, Henry Fonda, and, guys like that, the Sheldon Leonards of the world, the character actors like that. Can't think of the guy's name, but like the guy that was the brother in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, character actors like that, that were just always pathetic. And oh my, he's such a jerk.
But great actors. Yeah.
Yeah. Great actors. They're probably not really pathetic in life. today, I don't know who I like a lot. I can't help but not like Matt Damon and everything he's in. He's just solid. I don't know.
Those are good answers. Those are great. I have to share with you, I have a William Peterson story. I loved him in To Live and Die in L.A. When I thought I was going to go after acting hard, I studied him in that movie. He was so good. And then he was great in Manhunter. And Dennis Farina was my little league coach in Chicago. Like, these two guys I'm watching, I'm like, it was amazing. And William Peterson, I was on my way. There was, when I was at DePaul, there was a bar called Murph's, and he used to go there. And, if we went through this martini phase, me and my friends, we were like 20. We shouldn't even have been in the bar. And William Peterson is there with the woman, Amy Morton, who I think he was dating at the time. And they're sitting at a table, and the song To Live and Die in L.A. comes on. And my buddy Dennis walks over to him carrying a martini. He's this little squirrely guy, and he looks at William Peterson. And William Peterson just looks at him and goes, yeah. And Dennis goes, you hear this song? And Peterson goes, yeah. And Dennis goes, are you the man? William Peterson goes, yeah. And Dennis just walked away. And Peterson laughed. He was really cool. I talked to him a couple days. It was like meeting my idol. He was great. That's a great answer.
No, he was super cool. It does not disappoint.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, the other night in Pocatello, Idaho, that's where he went to school. That's where he grew up, in Pocatello, Idaho.
Yeah. No kidding.
High school and university there.
I know you got to get to dinner. You don't want to keep your co-stars waiting, but you got a show recommendation for us, Joel, or a movie you can share with us quick?
Oh, she's a hitman, you keep saying.
You can't piggyback like that.
No, what do I got? I got nothing right now. I'm reading a book. For D-Day, I decided to read this Why We Fight kind of book that a friend's dad wrote. And I'm enjoying that. My wife picks the shows when I'm at home. And a lot of times I'm kind of like, you're on, this is season 6 now, isn't it? I thought we were on season 1. I'm just on the road too much to keep up.
She Netflix cheated, they call it. The show is Who's Live Anyway. Get your tickets now. Great. You got to do it.
Who'slive.com has got the tickets.
There we go.
You don't have to have the anyway, but who'slive.com. And,
it'd be a great show. Joel, thank you so much, buddy, for your time tonight.
Great to see you, Pete.
Have a great tour.
Hey, one other thing real quick.
Yeah.
What's with the NFC Central? Bears don't play the Packers till week 11.
How about
that? They don't play any of the Central Division until the final games of the year.
We'll talk about that. We got to see what we can do about that. Hey, you're in Appleton, Philly cheesesteak on me if you got time, but we'll talk before then.
All right. Well, the original Butterburger is there too.
Yes. Joel Murray. Thanks so much, Joel.
All right.
Enjoy your dinner. We'll be right back with more Nightlight.
I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel good creeping up on you. So just
you're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We have some positively disgusting bugs to discuss. Our question tonight, in honor of the giant spider invasion that we spoke about last night on Nightlight, what bugs freak you out the most? I am learning that there are just more gross bugs. Mosquitoes just are a nuisance, and I don't like them. But after reading all these entries tonight on the text line and on the stream, they're not even close to being the grossest bug. I'm just reading these. Conrad, Stacy Sue says, I don't even know what that means. I'll come back to that, Stacy Sue. Sherry says slugs, big fat slugs when you're mucking out a horse stall. Yuck. I would say the horse stall sounds pretty disgusting too, Sherry. But yeah, slugs is a good one. Chocolate Nazi, Stacy Sue says, mom's clothes from 70s. I still don't know what that means, but I'm still somehow with you, Stacy. I'm trying to be a team player. Amanda says, my sister Nikki Schwant has legit thrown me in the direction of a centipede in order to protect herself. I would do that too, Amanda. No offense. I like you. You're a wonderful coworker here at Civic Media, but I don't, centipedes, anything that crawls fast. I think I would rather be in a room with a mountain lion than with like 20 centipedes that I couldn't see where they were. At least I know how I'm going to die. I could legitimately have a heart attack if there were centipedes surrounding me in a room. And then Amanda's sister, I presume, Nikki Schwant says, Amanda Nimmer, rude, you weren't moving fast enough and therefore volunteered as tribute. Wow, very Shakespearean, Nikki. Well said. And then on the text line, we've got Tom from New Berlin says, box elder bugs, been a journey. I don't know what a box elder bug. Conrad, you know what that is?
Yeah, I think it might be an invasive species. I'm not totally sure, though.
Yeah. Oh, box elders are. They're trees. Yeah. But box elder bugs, I don't know what those are.
I believe that they kind of tear down those trees, actually.
No kidding.
From the inside.
Okay. That was Tom from New Berlin. That's a good one, too. Something I would not have thought about. Lynn Bauer, she says she didn't get a text back. Conrad, what do we do about this? Didn't get a text back, so I didn't think it worked. Well, I hope you got your word in, Lynn. Tom from New Berlin says you should do a thing on vermin red squirrels. What would we do though, Tom? Squirrels are bad too. Have you ever heard of anyone having a squirrel in their house?
No, I haven't.
My grandma's cottage, after she died, it sat there for a couple of years and people would go over there and I think squirrels got in. Squirrel, you don't want squirrels in your house. Trust me. They're tough to get rid of. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dead, checking in, says the noseum?
Noceums.
Noceums down in the Florida Keys can be bushial. I think he means brutal.
Dad, learn how to type.
He's got thumbs like me. Can be brutal to the ankles when there is no breeze. I thought mosquitoes were bad in Wisconsin, but the noceums take the prize as the bug that freaks me out. I get it, Steve, but I hate mosquitoes. I actually love that. I don't know if it's climate change or what, but the mosquitoes in Wisconsin back me up on this, Conrad. But I don't think they've been as bad the last like 3 years, maybe.
I don't know. You go up in the Northwoods, you're going.
Well,
Yeah.
Yeah. But I live in northern Wisconsin, and they can be really bad in the Marinette area. There have been several years where they've been terrible.
Yeah.
And we've had people come out and spray and all that kind of stuff. But the last 3 years, we didn't even spray the last 2 years. They just weren't that bad.
Have you heard about the mosquito like candles? You put it in the center.
Do those work?
I've never seen them work ever. They're made with some like flour or something that mosquitoes don't like. Never seen them work.
Or that they love and someone's playing a joke on us. I have a friend who did like a home remedy for mosquitoes. We were all watching the 4th of July by the water, and she came down with this home remedy for mosquitoes and sprayed it. And I swear to God, it attracted them. And if she did that on purpose, I love her even more because I think that's hilarious just to watch people swatting mosquitoes. But I just don't think anything works. I think they're kind of like cockroaches in that they can pretty much, other than a swat, I think they can make it through anything, really. I don't know. Hey, do we have time for... we got Stuart J. Waddles coming up at 8:35. We're going to talk about Summerfest and Fibs and the show Perfect Strangers, which has a weird tie to Wisconsin. How long is that Willy Wonka clip? Can we sneak that in here? Gene Wilder's birthday?
Yeah, we can sneak that in.
Let's do that. Here's Gene Wilder from Willy Wonka. Gene was born in Milwaukee in 1933. This is his birthday today.
Mr. Wonka? I am extraordinarily busy, sir. I just wanted to ask about the chocolate. The lifetime supply of chocolate for Charlie. When does he get it?
He doesn't.
Why not?
Because he broke the rules.
What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie?
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis, incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
You're a crook. You're a cheat and a swindler. That's what you are. How can you do a thing like this? Build up a little boy's hopes and then smash all his dreams to pieces. You're an inhuman monster.
I said good day.
That's great acting. I know the film is kind of a kid. Is it a kid's film, Conrad? Would you call it a kid's film?
I don't know. I watched it, a couple months ago. It held up. I still liked it.
Nice. Have you seen the remake?
I had the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I don't think it's as good as the Gene Wilder one.
What about the prequel?
The Wonka?
I actually really liked
that. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I liked it. The people I went to see it with loved it. I liked it. I don't know what it was that it was lacking, for me anyway, that didn't put it over the top. But it was enjoyable. I think I was tired when I went to see it too. That doesn't help. Hey, this is a cool thing. Wisconsin, I heard this on the news, $25 billion in tourism profit last year. How crazy is that? How much of that? You think Green Bay is going to get a taste of that?
I don't know. I mean, tourism is going to be pretty heavy next year during the draft.
Where would you go? Where do you want to go in Wisconsin, Conrad?
I haven't really spent a lot of time in La Crosse. I think I'd like to go there.
Okay. It's a lovely town. Beautiful. Different, too, because it's by the Mississippi. It's more hilly. Yeah that's a good choice. All right, so get in on the fun. What bugs gross you out the most? What insects gross you out the most? Let us know. Call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Stuart J. Waddles and I discuss Summerfest and Fibs next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just another night is all that it takes to understand the difference.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. No sentencing date's been announced for Hunter Biden, but the court of public opinion is weighing in after the president's son was convicted of lying about his drug use on a form that he filled out when he bought a gun.
He had lived a life that has gotten him to this point.
Was Hunter Biden guilty? Based on what I read, what I saw, sure he was guilty.
Faces up to 25 years in prison, but legal experts say it's unlikely he'll serve much, if any, time behind bars. The president travels to Italy today for G7 meetings. There'll be information released on the U.S. economy, the latest consumer price index. Primary voters in four states were at the polls on Tuesday. In Nevada, Sam Brown won the Republican Senate primary. He'll face two-term Democratic Senator Jackie Rosen in November. And as Secretary of State Antony Blinken pushes a ceasefire proposal in the Middle East, Hezbollah fired a barrage of rockets into northern Israel. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Democrats say they have a shot at regaining control of the Assembly in 2024. With retirements and redistricting, almost two-thirds of Assembly seats will be up for grabs in the 2024 election cycle. 120 Democrats are running for office, which is the most since 2011. The Wisconsin Elections Commission met on Monday to finalize the ballots for the August and November primaries. Wisconsin small business owners are worried about proposed cuts to the Affordable Care Act. Krissa Ostenzo owns an optometry clinic with her husband in Ladysmith. She says the premium cap for recent adjustments put health insurance within people's reach.
We always just had to encourage our employees to get health insurance and try to pay them enough to do it. And it really wasn't until the 8% that we succeeded in that. And they started all having health insurance.
The temporary ACA premium caps are set to expire at the end of next year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Daytime Emmy Awards took place June 8th, and history was made when Dick Van Dyke won an Emmy for an appearance on Days of Our Lives. At 98 years old, the legendary performer is the oldest actor ever to be nominated or win a Daytime Emmy. Kelly Clarkson took home a Daytime Emmy Award for Talk Series for her show, The Kelly Clarkson Show. Her show received 8 nominations, the most in the category. America is bananas over Kelly Clarkson. Soap opera General Hospital was nominated 11 times and brought home 4 awards for daytime drama series. Best actress in a lead performance for a daytime drama series went to Michelle Stafford, who won her 3rd Outstanding Actress Award. She plays Phyllis Summers on The Young and the Restless. The Bold and the Beautiful's Thorsten Kay took home his 2nd consecutive daytime Emmy for Outstanding Actor as Ridge Forrester. Damn, I wish I had a cool soap name like that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather on the Eagle, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy. Highs in the mid to upper 80s. Showers and storms tonight and a low of 67. For Thursday, mostly sunny. Highs near 83. On Friday, sunshine, a high of 81. More showers and storms Saturday.
Right now, it's 62.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Wednesday morning, I'll be joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, for our weekly conversation. We'll talk about what Citizen Action is up to and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabba.
Just when you think the bug talk couldn't get any worse, Jim from Appleton says, centipedes, silverfish, potato bugs, all those wonderful bugs that scatter when you go downstairs to grandma's basement. When I went to Catholic school as a young kid in Chicago, there was a nun called Sister Abel, and she used to put a net around her. She's like 104 years old, but she looked great. She used to put a net around her brown bag lunch to keep the silverfish out. I don't know what the heck. I don't know how that would do that. They're like these tiny things, but I have seen them. They're really disgusting. So Jim is up the bar. Jameson in Pennsylvania in the 814 says, this is a video, so you might not get it. What does he say? Oh, it was a video of squirrels that he shared that became his friends on my porch. Yeah, squirrels, okay. They can be lovable. They're not bugs either. That said, I would never want them in my attic eating everything they can. Well said, Jameson. I would not want that either. Okay, so last week on the show, Civic Media's own Stuart J. Wattles was here. Stuart covers Southeast Wisconsin for Civic Media. He's a great reporter and host of political roundtables, if you will. He does a phenomenal job. And we had this great talk about Ferris Bueller and a few other things, but we did not get to Summerfest or Fibs. So we had to have him back. It's a Nightlight Part 2. This is the fourth time we've done this. Right, Conrad? Fifth? Yeah?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay. Conrad's got a running total back there. But Stuart joins us again now on Nightlight. Hey, Stuart.
Is there a jacket for multiple visits?
What like kind of a
blazer or something?
What kind of a budget do you think I'm working with here?
I don't know. Maybe like a little button, maybe.
All right. We could probably do that. Conrad?
I'll make one for you.
Take a memo. We're on it.
Hey, happy birthday, Connie.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Connie, I like that. You know what?
I like Connie, too. I was trying that out.
Yeah.
You liked it?
I do, because there's a Sean Penn film.
C-Rad is good, too, though.
He's not C, though, Stuart. He's K.
Conrad with K-Rad.
Oh, he's K-Rad.
Yeah.
I've been called Connie, like, my whole life, to be honest, because I had a principal when I was in elementary school. Her name was Connie, so they do that to make fun of me.
But you know what? It's
like
a cool nickname. There's a Sean Penn film where they call him Connie, and it escapes me. But he's kind of a badass in the movie too.
I don't mind Connie.
Don't go to sleep.
I like
Connie.
It.
Okay. Don't tell Mino and the mayor that.
No, they got convoy.
Twist it. Stuart, how are you, buddy?
Well, thanks. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you could come back. I know. You know, with young kids, it's always nice to have a little break. Just come on the radio and sneak off to your man cave or
your
studio.
Down in the basement and close the doors and tell everybody to be quiet for a little bit.
That's right. What's happening in Southeast Wisconsin tonight that we should know about, if anything?
Oh, there's a lot going on. Have you heard about the MPS stuff? That's kind of a big deal in the news.
Just a little
MPS
bit.
And the budget. And well, there's some ongoing budget issues. They were supposed to submit some documents showing what they're spending and how things are going, and those weren't put in, and the state said, hey, you guys didn't put the document in, and you're not going to get this money. So there's some troubles going on with that. But then, like you were saying, Summerfest is coming up, which is a big deal for Summerfest for Milwaukee.
And you said you don't get there as much anymore. I assume because you're a dad.
I don't get
but
there as much.
Yeah.
No, but it's primarily it, but a lot of it, I mean, so growing up, I'd go there as a kid, and then my first radio job was in promotions for a rock station, which was all over Summerfest. So we were there every single day for multiple years. We'd go up there and set the tent up, and again, every day, open to close, we would have to have that thing staffed. So I was there a lot. And then not so much recently. I haven't been since they've gone to the weekend format. So that's probably been 3 or 4 years now.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like crowds necessarily. I tend to shy away from them. But when I was a comic in my 20s, I worked Summerfest every year, and it was always great. Like once I got there, I loved it, you know, because you could walk around and see the bands and the other acts and that kind of stuff. But I do remember literally sweating, like sweat pouring down my back because you're outside doing stand-up. It was not a great venue for stand-up, in my opinion.
Were you in a tent?
Yeah.
Were you back in the that little tent next to the amphitheater?
Yes. Wow, good memory. Yeah, I was just trying to think where that tent was, but yeah, it was next to the
huge amphitheater. That's where you people usually do your business, you comics.
What do you mean? Still? Is that what they still do?
You know, I'm just kidding. That's where the comics set up. That's where you'll see an Elvis impersonator in there during the day, but at nighttime they'll bring in the big comedians. And Louis Black was a big deal, so he was outside that tent, but other comics would go in and play inside of there.
Yeah.
Who is David Seaback? Is that a guy that?
Is he the guy that does the keyboard or?
I think so. I remember seeing him on the lineup every year.
Yeah.
Him and REO.
What, they're back this year. REO Speedwagon will be there. You going to check that one out?
Yeah, I've got this in front of me. I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce SCA. I'm guessing SZA.
Are we SZA? Still talking about the keyboard guy?
No, I'm talking about the headliners at the big amphitheater.
Oh.
It is SZA. Yep.
I'm trying to go through, see if I recognize any of these names.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody since Huey Lewis at the big...
When did you go to see Huey Lewis?
I was like in the 80s or early 90s.
Oh, okay. Cause I probably maybe 15 years ago saw him there. He was playing at the time. It was a newer stage, but yeah, good time.
Absolutely. Here's who I would see. I would say, this year, the Gin Blossoms, I would still see them. I think their lead singer is the one who killed himself or drank himself to death. A few years ago,
lead singer
or the songwriter?
I think it was a songwriter.
Okay,
so I think the guy singing the songs is there, but that like you talked about that after that first album, it kind of fell off. And
yeah,
but what a first album though, huh?
I mean, there is not an ounce of fat on that album. It is so great. Good. Yeah, I would go just to see them perform all those songs and whatever else they wanted to do, you know. But I would see them. What is School of Rock? Do you know what that is?
You've seen the movie, right?
Yeah, I figured it was like a...
Well, there's real schools of rock. So there's kids out there that are going to schools that are learning to play. And then this is like the recital, if you will, at the end of their session. They go and get together and they play on stage. One of the years I was there, Jim Peterik was there introducing some of the school rock bands. Pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. That's really cool. And then there's a band. If you do end up there, Stuart, this year, they've been on this show two or three times. They're called 7,000 Apart. They're a Green Bay act and a Swedish act, Conrad, would you say? They split time between here and Sweden. But they're really good. They'll be there this year on one of the smaller stages, I assume. But that's a cool gig
for them. You know, you got a day?
No, but I will find out next week because they will be here.
There are some interesting names here. Living Color is playing. Cracker.
Oh, I didn't see Living Color.
Right.
Dude, I would go see that show just to hear them sing Cult of Personality. I loved that song.
I would, again, that whole album, I'd like to hear it front to back.
Yeah, same.
What's your favorite color, baby? Living Color. It's a good one. But Summerfest, what they're doing different this year is they've got that hop. I don't know if you've been downtown Milwaukee recently. So they got this streetcar running around that gets you kind of close, like across the street. And what they're doing is they're rearranging some of the streetcar lines to fully focus on Summerfest and to get people down there from other points through the downtown. So it's not so much of a congestion right in that area.
Boy, that's
so if you're heading
huge.
There, that might be something to inquire about.
Yeah, that's a great addition for the whole city. It's great.
We used to take the buses up. They had the freeway flyers running from the park and ride. So we'd just go up to Milwaukee County, hop on the bus, and then get to Summerfest that way.
Oh, nice. So when's the last time you've been there?
It's probably been like 7 or 8 years.
Okay. Wow.
And again, this is after going, I was doing every days there for a few years, but it's been, it's probably been 7 or 8 years, way too long.
When do you, are your kids at the age where they would get something out of Summerfest?
During the day, I wouldn't have them after four.
Yeah.
But even then it's really loud. I mean, even just walking by, it's loud, and I don't think I'd have them there yet.
Right.
They do got a cool playground there. I don't know if you, I'm not sure. When's the last time you were there, Pete? Get that out of
there. 25, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, probably. Because, you know, when you're visiting, you
area.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, they ripped it all out, and there's like a newfangled playground in there with new equipment, and that's open year round, but it's open during Summerfest. So it is something to do, but again, it's loud for the youngins.
Yeah. From the 608, Carla, Conrad's Aunt Carla says, Eddie Money back in the 90s. I just love live music, upcoming country singers, or who just want to be heard. Yeah, Eddie Money, I bet that was a good show. Are you a Bodine fan?
I had one of my, Eddie Money? Yeah, I like Eddie Money.
No, I said
one of the best shows I've, well, the best nights, we went and saw Stone Temple Pilots in the amphitheater. Oh, again, wow. This is when they were big, late 90s. But as soon as that show was letting out, you got filtered into a stage which had Survivor there.
Wow. So
Survivor, they're doing Eye of the Tiger. They're doing the, you know, all the big Survivor. I Caught High on You and, you know, all those hits.
You know,
so it was just a 1-2 bang of wow.
I loved, like, I really liked Pearl Jam. I liked Nirvana. I didn't love Nirvana, but the Stone Temple Pilots are probably my favorite band from the 90s, from that era. And here's what's so crazy. Like, I really like Scott Weiland's voice. He and his family lived kind of close to us in LA. We would see him at the mall. And when he died, Stuart, all I could think was, I saw this guy chasing his kids around the playland at the mall and pushing a stroller. Like, not at all how I remembered him from the 90s. And this guy had a heroin. Like, it just didn't resonate that this could happen to this person. Isn't that crazy?
Did you ever see him? Did you ever see him perform?
Not live, no.
He was something else. Like, he, I mean, yeah, he's up there on my list of top front man, because
really,
when he's on stage, you're just taken away, and you just kind of he sucks you in. And it's just like you said, I'm on board with an STP session too, because every single album was a little bit different. There was a progression. They weren't all the same.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I think a lot of those bands of those eras kind of got stuck, and STP wasn't afraid to do things a little bit different.
No, they did that cool video. Like, was it Big Bang Baby, Get the Gas Gas, something like that. It was like a different kind of funny song almost. And they were looking at each other like they were the Brady Bunch almost. I love it.
Oh, there's even, I mean, from the, I think the Tiny Songs album there, Art School Girlfriend. It's just, it's totally different than I am. I want to get near to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of those songs are so grating. But yeah, are you a
progression there?
Are you a Bodines fan? They're there July 6th.
No, but I understand the cultural relevance of the Bodines. I get it. I just it's not my thing. I'm just like a few years underneath that that era.
Okay. Here's my Bodines. Okay, so I went to see a U2 concert in 1987. I got dragged to it, if you can believe that. $20
Ooh,
bucks a ticket.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't feel like going out. I was in my dorm room and someone's like, $20 a ticket. Come on. They're like, I think it was the Joshua Tree tour. So I go.
That's what I was going to say. Joshua Tree album, right?
Yeah. So I go and the Bodines are opening. And that was the first time I saw the Bodines. And I'm like, who are these guys? Like, they had a different sound and kind of the same thing. Their songs were all over the place and so much fun. And they became one of my favorite bands from the 90s and early 2000s too. And still are. So
yeah, where'd you see U2? Where was that show?
Rosemont Horizon.
Nice. The Rosemont.
Yeah. I think I still have the ticket stub. And that was incredible. I can't believe I almost didn't.
Growing up where I grew up, yeah, that's one of the closest venues for the big thing.
Right.
Saw Garth Brooks there back in the day. Rodeos coming through. That was the place.
Wow. But you got Milwaukee. They didn't come to like the Mecca or anything? I guess that's a little
smaller.
They
did. It was just sometimes easier. I mean, almost equidistant from where I am, hopping on the interstate to Rosemont than coming up and dealing with either the Mecca or the Bradley Center.
Right.
And again, some of those things didn't come through, that they would only be a Rosemont exclusive kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, so we're going to talk Phibs next. Cool?
Oh, yeah.
I know you have opinions, and I want to hear them. Stuart J. Waddles.
I did, in the interest of the show, I did some research.
Oh, fantastic. All right, Stuart J. Waddles is here. He covers Southeast Wisconsin for Civic Media. He's a great reporter, a good friend, and a very knowledgeable guy. And we're going to hear what he has to say about Phibs next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there that probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably going to say I look lovely, but you're probably going to think nothing.
something of me.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties, the best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Greg from Waukesha, out in the 262, says, I am loving this. Thank you, Civic Media, for broadcasting. No, this is, I almost read a text that was not intended for my show. What do you do? Stuart, what would you do for that? Would you bail? Or would you?
No, I'd go with it. I'd explain what's going on, because I'm not being heard in any of my home markets tonight. Got the Brewers on RJN. You got a concert going on in UK. But how you doing, rest of the state?
There we go. He might have been talking about it. Conrad, did Busted Pencils do a remote tonight?
No, UK is doing a show. They're broadcasting live from a Tribute Tuesday, Eric Clapton cover band, live on AUK tonight.
Really?
Yeah, it's a downtown concert series they do in the downtown.
Very nice. So, all right.
They didn't let you know you were preempted?
No.
That's all right.
I, you know what? It's been such a weird 2 days, though. I didn't even look at the liners. So that's my bad on that. I don't know if I assume it
like
was
the
there.
Show is going to be any different, Pete. It's still going to be the 110% effort, right?
What am I supposed to do? Conrad, do you read the liners?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Religiously or just like casually? Like, is that your morning
this
coffee?
This might have been a test thing.
That's my morning coffee.
It's pointy fingers here, Pete.
It's a total
might have been a test thing. You never know.
I just like to keep Conrad on his toes. He's a very active guy, and he's on it. But if I can pass blame, I'm not beneath that. Okay, so fibs. Let's talk, Stuart. Here we touched on this last week. I think, like, cheesehead, I get, you know, and I'm a half fib, half cheesehead. I've spent a lot of years in both places. When I'm there, they call me a cheesehead, and when I'm here, I'm a fib. It's a very conflicting existence I have. But I will say cheesehead is a better nickname than fib. Fib is not clever. I just think we can do better. Your thoughts?
It's quite an escalation, isn't it?
Yeah.
He called a cheesehead to a, I'm going to call you an effing, right. You know. Whoa, slow down there, buddy. I just called you a cheesehead. Easy.
Yes, it is a total escalation. That is a great way to put it. And like, we may have talked about this briefly last week too. Sometimes people put another F word in front of
it.
So it's F.
Yeah, well, when you're driving, yeah, you got all those words all ready to go, and it just kind of flows together.
Oh, that's
like saying automated teller machine or ATM machine.
So what do we do about that? Where do we, you know?
I don't know. I went in and I did some research. It's and I came up with nothing, Pete. There's an unknown origin on this thing. There's nobody that really knows, and they even asked John Goethe. He didn't know where this thing came from.
Okay.
So again, it's been going on at least from the 70s, from what I've gathered from reports of people hearing it, what they remember. It was interesting to find out that people in Minnesota use it for Iowans. So I guess there's some dual usage there.
That's even a worse escalation, because people from Illinois, and I admit this, it's my native state, I guess, can be, you know, D-baggy when they come through here.
Yeah, boorish, unappreciative, rude.
Right, and mostly you think
I don't need to go on.
but you think they're looking down on us if they see a Wisconsin plate. I get that. But to go from Cheesehead, you're right. And to go a fib for Iowa is an even worse escalation. Because Iowa drivers, come on, how bad can they be?
I've never seen them on I-94 between the state line and Milwaukee. I have, however, seen Illinois drivers, and it's they get surprised that they, I was only doing like 30 over there. Why'd you pull me over?
Right.
Because you're doing 30 over. That's like my license plate, huh? No, sir, you're doing 30 over. So I kind of understand it, but it's becoming a melting pot. I mean, I've been familiar with this term since I was young, and people have been moving in from Illinois in mass into Kenosha and Racine County. So it's kind of, we're all merging together. And to be honest with you, the actual culture, we're all the same. There's still there's a working class attitude that likes sports, that likes their family. It's a very similar culture. So, and I think there's some jealousy, big brotherism going on.
And to be honest, they're really no different. Conrad and I have talked about this. Northeast Wisconsin has horrible drivers now. But if they had an Illinois plate, I would go, oh, yeah, okay. But you're right. It's like skin color. It's license plates or it's a religious, affiliation. It's just a generalization, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I haven't heard it, but in my research, have you ever heard of a fib tab? A fib tab.
No.
So you got the normal fib, but you add on towing a boat. Towing a boat. Hey, there goes a fib tab driving by there.
I think we could do better with if we hone in on driving, because I've heard people I've asked people for suggestions. I go, come on, something clever about people from Illinois, not just FIB, whatever. And they
point out the other aspect of this.
Yeah.
I think the other aspect of this is the property or landowners, or they're just coming up here on the weekend. We're here all the time. And I think there's a little bit of that going on, but go ahead.
That could be. No, but we get money from that. That's not a bad thing, right? I mean, and they love our state. I know tons of people who have relocated here because they wanted their weekend to last forever. But the nicknames I get from people toward Illinois people are like Pennyheads. Abraham Lincoln. It's like, okay. We need something they don't have a cheese like we do, or something that you can attribute to their head.
They got bad drivers.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe there's a, we should keep working on this because I think we could come up with something. Not tonight.
We'll have to workshop that one.
We'll do some homework. Stuart, this is great. Thank you. And we'll get to Perfect Strangers next time too, because that is worth a mention.
Yes, Balkian Kozenlari.
Bartakamus from Larry Appleton was his name.
Part of the TGIF lineup. That was big back in the day. Kid my age.
Absolutely. It's my brother's favorite show. The one where they worked out, I remember that. They overdid it and they couldn't move. They both did such great physical comedy. I don't think it was a great show. That episode floored me. I don't know if you remember that one.
It had a lot going for it. It had the physical comedy and it had that theme song, which really still hits to this day. I mean, I'd put it in the top seven.
Sure.
Sometimes the world looks perfect. Nothing can be a ring. Good one.
Thanks, buddy. Get back to your kids. Great talking to you.
Will do. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media Zone. I'd like to thank Joel Murray, all your texts and the gross bug talk. That was really fun. Kind of came out of nowhere, Conrad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So tomorrow night on the show, we have Chris Foran and possibly Mike Clemens. Chris Foran and Mike Clemens, let's say. We might have to move Mike Siegel to Thursday night. It might be too much comedy for one night, but we'll see. It's going to be more fun, more pandemonium, more movie and TV talk, and another great question that can get you guys interested and make you part of the show. So much fun tonight. Conrad, thank you.
Of course.
I'm Pete Chihuahua. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night.
This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Dr. Johnny Lupinacci for day 8 of Joe Biden's top 100. We'll be talking about school vouchers and what they mean for your family.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.